urgent times. If you're living in fear of the future, wondering how the Lord intervenes with His mercy and compassion, stay tuned for an hour of inspiring, uplifting radio for a time such as this. Now here is your host, Ann McClone, with Thy Will Be Done.
Well, my friends, it is a pleasure to be with you today, January 18th, 2021. And I give you the date all the time because if we have a rerun, I don't want you confused if an event is coming up. So I want you to know when the program is aired. And I'm so happy to be live with you today. We have a very special guest, as usual, who will be with us in a few minutes. I want to quote Reverend Martin Luther King and this life celebration today. This was a quote actually posted on a website here in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia, and I believe it's very powerful. Use me, God. Show me how to take who I am, who I want to be, and what I can do, and use it for a purpose greater than myself. Reverend Martin Luther King. That's use me, God. Show me how to take who I am, who I want to be, and what I can do, and use it for a purpose greater than myself. My friends, are we all ready to be used for a purpose greater than what we expect? So I also want you to open up and pray this specific piece from Scripture tonight, if you can. Chapter 40, verses 1 through 5. Comfort, give comfort to my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her service is at end. Her guilt is expiated. Indeed, she has received from the hand of the Lord double for all her sins. A voice cries out in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the wasteland a highway for our God. Every valley shall be filled in. Every mountain and hill shall be made low. The rugged land shall be made a plain, the rough country a broad valley. Then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all mankind shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. I want you all to pray this particular scripture this evening. Write down the thoughts the Lord has given you. If He hasn't given you any, just what you're sensing. That's chapter 40 in Isaiah, verses 1 through 5. Well, again, every Monday, lately, I've been saying, oh, what a week we've had. This is why the theme for this year is endurance. And by the way, if you're having difficulty, and I've heard so many people complaining to me that they can't hear the program in their cars or in their little radios in their homes because it powers down, AM radio powers down during this time of the year, I absolutely advise you to go through the computer or iHeartRadio, or if you have Alexa or Google, and you can use them and simply say WTMR 800 AM, and it will bring you right to the program. Again, I strongly suggest that you use these difficult, they're difficult for some people, but these magnificent opportunities to listen to this program and the one following me with Joe Trainer. Because again, AM radio powers down. It's not just WTMR. It's a federal communications commission issue, and it's been going on for decades. So I just ask you to look for another means to listen to these programs during the week, during the winter months. AM radio is very powerful, but there are other ways to listen besides your car radio or your little radio you may have at home, like I do. But in the meantime, what we are going to be talking with Eddie Morris. Now, I've had Ed on, geez, 2-3 years, many, many times. Great responses. But I want to tell you a little bit about what we're talking today, because this is what the Lord placed on my heart. this morning, and actually yesterday. Remember, we again talked about the theme of endurance this year. Last year it was hope. Endurance is what the Lord placed on my heart in the beginning of the year. And that is, we're going to be talking about difficulties making us strong and how self-pity simply doesn't work to get us through these difficult times. Or if you're involved, if you have a really horrendous illness, you're in financial difficulties, self-pity is not going to do it for you, my friends. It's not going to do it for me. And I've learned the hard way. We have to rise above it. And so Eddie Morris, to me, is an example of rising above difficult times. And he shared many of his stories with us live on the air. I can't have him live in the studio with me because of COVID restrictions, so he'll be calling in. And I can't wait to have him back live with me in the studio because the dynamic synergy between both of us is wonderful when we're discussing the spiritual journey of the Lord. So those of you and those of us who are really in the midst of some difficulties, big, little, or strong difficulties, and we get stuck in the self-pity. The self-pity. Remember last week we had Larry Leopold, and we were talking about living in the divine, the gift of the divine will, how to fuse our hearts to the Lord, how to live in the present moment. Well, this is a follow-up to it, and I wanted a successful businessman to be with us. Again, for those of you who haven't heard Eddie in the past, he's very inspiring, and boy, do I have a lineup for you in the coming weeks and in the coming months. So be assured, this is the network for you to tune in. And I want you to be sure, turn off that TV. Turn off the news, except for the Weather Channel. I want you to hear the Christian message, the Catholic message. This apostolate works in accordance with the magisterium of the Roman Catholic Church. It is not a for-profit ministry. It is not a for-profit radio apostolate. It is a non-profit radio apostolate. None of the broadcasters are paid, including the president of the network, Kathleen McCarthy. Yeah, you heard that correctly. None of us are paid, nor would we want to be. And Kathleen isn't paid either as the president. So, and no money comes from the church. Did you know that? Everybody thinks, oh, you know, we know the church is funding this radio station. It's funded by people like you. Kathleen McCarthy calls you her angels. You are her angels. You allow this program to be aired. You allow all the other programs throughout the week to be aired. You are the angels for this network. So we are eternally grateful for this. And this is why I wanted to talk about difficulties make us strong. And I found actually a story on spiritdaily.com today, and I love they were quoting Maria Vidia, and she's quoting, "We are more than conquerors," writes Vidia in a new book, citing Romans 8:37. So what does this mean to be conquerors? I love this line, that we are meant to overcome everything that comes against us. Whoa. That we are meant to overcome everything that comes against us, every trial, every difficulty, every attack from the enemy is not meant to destroy us. We are meant to overcome them. The more we pray, friends, the more we see. The more we see, the more faith grows. It's why there were so many miracles in the early church. Faith was fresh then. It's just as fresh today when we take sufficient time to pray. Not that, oh, Jesus, I want you to heal my daughter. Oh, Jesus, really, truly be in a relationship with the Lord and pray. And Maria Vidia says, some suffering may be sent to purify, some may be redemptive. We purge our sins as well, perhaps as those of our lineage. Really? We unite our suffering as a sacrifice for the world. This can be very true. Saints have shown us as much, but it's also true that much suffering results from the enemy and thus can be overcome. A spirit is cast out and a demonic can hear. Matthew 9:32. So we are not helpless. We're not helpless listeners of this radio network. How many people did Jesus heal who came to him? I want you to really think about this. How many people did Jesus heal who came to him? Hey, friends, everyone. When he spoke of carrying our crosses, perhaps he was referring chiefly to persecution. It's not a begging voice, but a spoken command. It's a spoken command. So with this, my friends, I welcome Eddie Morris live on the air. Ed, thank you for being on the air with us today.
Oh, man. I think your topic is about my life.
Well, you know that we always connect through the Holy Spirit, and the Lord put it on my heart. Eddie Morris, he's perfect for this topic because difficulties make us strong. They don't make us weaker, do they, Ed? They make us stronger. And I thought, you're the perfect witness, and you think probably, oh, I've heard Ed Morris before, or Ed Morris is thinking you've heard me before. But we always have new listeners, Ed. And just give a quick comment of why you would even think difficulties make you stronger, not weaker.
Well, first of all, hello, listeners, and thank you so much for allowing me to be on the radio. I can't think of anybody that has a perfect life. I was thinking about it. You know, when you were texting me the topic, I don't know anybody that gets a free ride in this world. And I actually don't know anybody who doesn't have a lot of challenges. So, I mean, we're all in the exact same boat. And so to me, the topic is so perfect. And I know in my life, I'm 62 now. I've had a lot of things happen to me that I wish never did happen. I'm actually happy they happened because I've learned from them. But at the time, I wish they weren't happening. But looking back now, it's all good. It's all fine. I got freedom. And when you come out on the other side, you're so much stronger. You learn so much. So, self-pity, which we're talking about. I mean, we all have a strong desire to look for help or to hope someone else sees that we're struggling and think, will they come up and give me a hug or will they empathize with me or will they help me? Will they help me get out of my hole I'm in? I mean, we all do that all the time. And all my friends, we're all, about Team Hope, we have so many members now, but I think the framework of why we're so tight is we all understand that we all got struggles. We all say, how can we help each other? And we do. That makes a team, makes us strong, that makes us closer to God. And the beauty of it all is that, man, is God so happy when he sees us all working with each other. So if you have a challenge, if you need some help, I know myself, I mean, other people will look at your challenge as a way for them to feel great. If you have a challenge, it might be, I consider it a gift for someone else. So if I see someone out there struggling and I can help them, their struggle becomes my gift. And I feel so great to be able to help somebody. So that's how I view self-pity and struggles. They're nothing but gifts, an opportunity for someone else to help someone else.
So, Ed, I have a question for you. You are a retired, successful entrepreneur, husband, father. You host prayer meetings. You do so much. You used to work in the streets of Kensington with the drug addicts. Ed, talk to the mom or dad right now. You know, I have such a strong sense that we have many listeners right now, and oh, I have the anointing, that have children who are involved in drugs and alcohol, and you worked in the streets, you know, and they're feeling sorry for themselves or they're thinking, there isn't any hope. I've tried everything. You're not a psychologist. And you're certainly not a theologian or priest or minister, but you're a man who's lived it in the streets with people. What would you say to the parent or the guardian of someone who's really feeling sorry for themselves today because they can't get anywhere with their loved one?
That's a great question. And, I guess right away, the very first thing that comes to my mind is I think about Jesus. I think about Mary. I think about John the Baptist. I think about Joseph. Now, Angel Gabriel asked Mary to have a son and that he would be the savior of the world. And then he was crucified. So I think about that. Who had a more of a opportunity to have self-pity than Mary? She lost her son. But she got through it. And God had a plan. And in the end, for millions of years, we love Mary as the greatest lady that ever lived. Think about Jesus. He came down here on the earth, and he did nothing but great works. And they were rough on him, and they crucified him. And he hung in there every day of his ministry. Never quit. And he didn't have much support. You know, a lot of times we think that he sat in crowds with thousands of people, and they were loving him. But I bet he did a lot of little three and five people speeches. And, he didn't know if they listened to him or anything. How hard was it for him to stay motivated every day? But he did. And he had a great opportunity to have self-pity, but he just kept plowing ahead. And these are our role models. So when I get down, I just think about what they did for us. And if they got through it, I can certainly get through it. So a mother or a father who has a child in addiction or depression or anxiety, you just have to sit back and forgive them, love them, and strengthen your relationship with the Lord. And he will do the rest. He has a plan. And I used to always tell the kids on the street, I said, God has already forgiven you for everything you've done. All you got to do is start talking to him, and we can get through this. So your question to me, what do parents do? Well, they have to sit back and continue to love their child or their sibling or their relative or their friend and forgive them and pray a lot to God and Jesus and Mary and everybody, and a plan will arise. And you never know when it will happen, but something good will happen. He has a plan. I've seen it so many times in my life. I was flat broke 12 years ago. Couldn't pay my electric bill. Today I'm retired. I had a father that struggled with alcoholism. I never, ever had a good chat with my father, ever. But I have two boys that I chat with all the time. It's a gift from my father. I learned how to forgive him. And now my father, who I never had a great chat with, taught me forgiveness because I forgave him. And now I carry that theme through my life. I forgive everybody all the time. So my dad's challenge and my desire to have self-pity because I didn't have a close relationship with my father, look what it turned out to be, a great understanding of forgiveness. So there's a silver lining. There's a gold lining in every challenge we have. And if your child is struggling, there will be a gold lining, a silver lining somewhere. Just hang in there and strengthen your relationship with the Lord.
And believe in the power of intercessory prayer. You know, you have your gatherings at St. Norbert for intercessory prayer. We have a mass that's celebrated here through the ministry, and prayer petitions are gathered through the broadcasters, and you can email your prayer petition. You're not alone. See, Eddie, so many people are not even aware of radio networks like this or the power of their parish or even if it's just somebody, for example, at your St. Norbert's prayer group, just sitting in the back of the church, listening and doing nothing. It's the companionship of hope. To me, that's the companionship of hope. And that's what you offer. That's what you offer.
Well, and we all offer it. All we have to do, I always talk about choosing happiness.
Mm.
Even when you're in a struggle, if you could somehow choose to be happy, then things will get better. You just made a great example. I have a friend of mine His name is he went to O'Hara. I better not say his name.
No.
But he came to one of my prayer services, and he just heard about them, and he came and he sat in a pew and we handed out a prayer. And you talk about the power of God. I just look at my prayers and I hand them out and people read them. And this particular man had a son struggling with addiction. And we have 6 or 7 speakers. I got my great friend Dennis Chiquino playing music with his band. We play a lot of music. We have a lot of speakers. And the whole night's about an hour and a half. But this one particular guy, who I did not even know, just heard about the event. And I handed out a prayer called Trust Me. Mm. It's the famous prayer about Trust Me. And he read the prayer, and he's been working so hard with his child to get him out of addiction, hands-on, just doing everything. And he just said, wow, what a prayer, trust me. And it really means forgive, that God will forgive everybody just the way he's forgiven us, and that how our lives are in God's hands. All we need to do is get close to God, and he'll do the rest.
Mm-hmm.
So this father said, you know what? He had just let go of all the pressure he was putting himself under regarding his son and his addiction, and he just began praying to God even more. And then guess what? A couple of months later, something good happened with his son, and today his son's been in recovery for over 3 years. And this guy has spoken at my prayer services. So he told a story about all he did was show up to the prayer service, and he saw the prayer, trust me, and he just began to improve his relationship with God instead of trying to fix his child himself. And then guess what? God took over and fixed his son.
Is this the prayer card with a picture of Jesus on the front and then the prayers on the back? Do you remember?
I do not.
Because Kathleen McCarthy wrote that prayer.
Really?
Yes, I know. Yeah. Yes, Kathleen McCarthy wrote that prayer. I was just looking for it in the studio, and I can't find it. She wrote that prayer, and it says anonymous.
I just found it. You want me to read it?
Yes, would you please?
Okay, it's called Trust Me.
Yeah.
And this is a direct conversation to the mother, father out there, or anybody that's having a struggle. Okay, trust me. Do you believe that I am the Son of God? And do you believe that I died for all men and women and that I rose from the dead? Then why do you continue to be distracted and anxious about your loved ones? Do they not also belong to me? Would I refuse to work in their lives just as I work in yours? I have not put you in charge of saving them. I have already done that. Nor have I charged you to change them. Your task is to love, to forgive, to pray for them, and to turn them over to me. Come closer to me yourself, and I will do the rest. Trust me. So there it is. What a prayer.
What a prayer, and I've used that probably, I haven't used it in a while, and I had it in the studio here, and it's not here. Yes, she wrote that. It says anonymous. It was a gift. It's a gift from the Lord, and it has been duplicated probably hundreds of thousands of times all over the world. So how amazing that that's the prayer that you shared with this stranger and what happened with him.
And you it's unbelievable.
It is.
He ended up, I asked him to speak at one of my events, and he got up there and he told them, and his speech that night was that he came to the prayer service, and an hour and a half, he didn't hear one word. He didn't pay attention to anybody. He just kept reading this prayer, trust me, and it changed his life. He got rid of all control and gave it to the Lord, as everyone has to do. That's what I have to do in my own life. That's what we all have to do. So he did that, and what a gift his challenge will end up being for me, because I am now great friends with this person. He comes up to me, Ed, I'm so grateful now, and my son is doing so well because I came to your prayer service. And so what an affirmation is for me, because I didn't even know him. And now he just loves what we did, and he's bringing out a friend, and he's doing God's work himself now. So it's just amazing. All I did was deliver a prayer, but it hit home with one person, and now there's a young boy out there who's doing great, and thanks for his prayer.
Well, I'm going to have you read that, and we'll pray that at the end of the program too, Ed, because, you know, while you started to talk, I could see the guy in the back pew, and that there are parents struggling so much today that they feel like they can't go on. They feel so weak, which is really when we're the weakest, the Lord is the strongest. But we are people of hope. We are Easter people. We are people of hope. And that's what this radio program, this radio apostle is about. That's an amazing story. And I'm wondering if he would ever agree to come on the air with you and tell his story live.
Oh, he definitely would. He definitely would. As a matter of fact, he knocked it out of the park so well on the first night he spoke at my event that I asked him to speak again. And he came a month later and he spoke again, because I told him he's got a lot in his tank. Because he, you know, he simply said his child's getting well, and I said you got more to talk about. Because everybody who speaks at my events say, "Hey, I'm not a public speaker, Ed. You're making me nervous." And I said, "Get up there, man. Get up there. You'll do just fine." And we've had 170 people speak, and every one of them said, "Wow, I'm so glad I did it. I'm close to God now. I didn't know I had it in me, but they're better people." And everybody has such a beautiful message. So when you talk about self-pity, it's okay to empathize with someone who's not feeling good, who actually is showing self-pity. I mean, that's about as normal as it gets. I myself in my life, you know, I have many bad days. I'm always looking for someone to pick me up. I don't admit it, but, you know, I need it. And what would be better than each one of us? We all know people that are out there struggling. What would be better than us making a call, speaking to a friend, saying, "Hey, I know you're struggling. I've struggled too. And as a matter of fact, I'm struggling right now. But you and me as a team, we can get through this." And that's what we should do. A person looking for self-pity needs help. We need to boost them up. And we can do it. They need to know they're not going it alone.
You know, Ed, think about the amount of people right now who, because of the pandemic, are stuck in nursing homes, or they're alone in their apartment or their home, and they're so scared. And not just because of the pandemic, but because, and they're feeling sorry for themselves, which becomes a quick pit to despair and lack of faith. And after this commercial break, I want to talk about some of your stories where, you know, did you really border on self-pity, and how God really, really stuck a sword in your heart to keep you awake and to know that he was present and that he had a greater plan for your life, or an example of one of your dear friends, and you have so many, where self-pity was reigning in their life and how the Lord really spoke to them through you or someone else that you know, or your prayer group. My friends, you're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio Network, and my special guest today is Ed Morris, and we're talking about self-pity and how difficulties make us strong, not weaker. So stay on the line, Ed. After this commercial break, we'll be right back.
Hello, Father Glacy here, and I owe a great debt of gratitude to the In His Sign radio ministry. It was this radio ministry that I listened to when I was going from being a lukewarm Catholic to an engaged Catholic, and this ministry really majorly affected the Catholic that I am today. Kathleen McCarthy in particular has an uncanny ability to speak to the heart, and when she speaks to the heart, she speaks with God's love, with His grace, and with His mercy. I can honestly say that I am a better Catholic, a better man of God, and have experienced the healing and joy of the gospel because of the great ministry of Kathleen McCarthy. And so I encourage others to listen to her so that they can experience the beautiful work that God does through her beautiful words.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We are blessed to have had this Catholic radio apostolate for almost 40 years now. Thanks be to God for your partnership. Without you, this radio voice would be silenced. We have a monthly Mass offered for you, our loyal family of listeners. It's our way of saying thank you for underpinning our apostolate with your many prayers and financial support. This is your radio ministry, to be a voice for those who have no voice, to evangelize and to catechize for a time such as this. We know the Lord will bless you abundantly. He can never be outdone in generosity. If this ministry has touched your heart, help us to touch other hearts by supporting us with your prayers and financial support. Call us at 610-527-2906 or visit our website at inhissign.com.
Welcome back, friends. You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio Network. I'm your host, Anne McGlone, on Thy Will Be Done. And our special guest today is Ed Morris, and we're discussing self-pity and how difficulties make us strong. I just wanted to give you a quote that I read online preparing for this program, and that is that self-pity is a selfish tendency that takes our eyes off of Christ and puts them on ourselves, and that the antidote, Ed, to self-pity is delighting and praising the Lord. Isn't that awesome?
It's tremendous.
Yeah, the antidote is delight in the Lord and praise Him in the darkness or the pain, right? And that's what, you know, that's what we have to learn. We have to teach our listeners. It is possible to make a conscious decision to praise God and to thank Him before you have an answer.
No doubt. I mean, every minute of Jesus' life, He spent helping others. So it's such a great example of what we're supposed to do. And I'll give you a great example. I have an amazing, amazing friend of mine who has been struggling lately. And I sensed it. And I knew what he needed. And we got it done. We gave him what he needed. And now things will be so much better. And this person will go off and do what he loves to do. And his challenge became my gift. It became my gift.
Say it again, Ed. That's a powerful statement.
His challenge is my gift.
Right.
I saw something that needed to be done. I saw a person not reaching their potential. And on just a little decision, we received new life, new birth, and a total transformation. And now things are going to be great. And so, you know, it's hard for other people to accept gifts or to want help or to accept help. But I always tell them, I said, please, please take me out of my pain. I need to help you. Don't make me leave here knowing that I was not able to do something that I can do for you. I need to be able to do this. Because God has given me more than I need. Everything I have is not mine. It's His. He's only using me to distribute it.
Right.
So please allow me to do what He wants me to do. take me out of my pain. I need to help you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so true. Now, I myself am terrible at accepting help. It's hard to believe I would make the statement I just made, but it's a weakness of mine. But I know it's what makes me tick. I know I have to do these kinds of things. It's what makes me go. If I see a person who God created not on his or her game, I view my only job is to help them get there. And we all should have this challenge. My wife, my kids, my friends. I just love to talk to them about this beautiful God that we have, beautiful Jesus, what he did for us, and help people keep him in their lives, and then just watch what he does. Watch how he takes over. Watch the amazing miracles that will happen in your life. And it is truly remarkable. And I can't tell you, some of the things I see my friends write or talk about now, simply because they pray a little bit more, it's remarkable. It's remarkable how brilliant everybody is. It's remarkable how everybody loves God so much. Sometimes you just need to lead them down the road a little bit, and then they take over, and it just becomes like wildfire. It's awesome.
It is awesome, Ed. And the Lord wants us to cultivate gratefulness to him. And this is what you're talking about, gratefulness. And we need to, and you've talked about this on other programs, the big thank you thoughts to God, especially when something doesn't go your way. You did that many times. You thank God, and you didn't even have anything in place. You said your electricity was off. You couldn't pay your bills. You were still in relationship with the Lord, thanking him. So you learned to be content, even though your world was falling apart. Tell our listeners that, you know, again, you've heard the story before if you've listened to us, but just do a quick version of when your electricity turned off and what God did.
Well, I love the stories. I love the stories. I mean, I tell them all the time. But when I was flat broke, can you hear me okay?
Oh, yeah, perfectly.
When I was flat broke, I had no idea what I was going to do because I'm a real estate guy, and real estate had no value. So I said, what am I going to do? It has no value, and it's not going to have value for a lot of years. And I'm sitting there in my car, just driving around praying a rosary. And then God said to me, Ed, this is going to be a nightmare for you, a multi-year nightmare. I'm like, really? He goes, yeah. It's going to be a mess, but I am going to be with you each step of the way. I said, okay, all right. He clearly told me I'm going to struggle for years, but he will never let me go. And when times got so, so bad, I would look up at the sky and I said, is this the bottom? He'd say, nope, we're going down further. But remember, I will not leave you. I said, okay, let's do it together. And I stayed with him, and every time I would get to rock bottom, he'd throw me a little bone. Something little good would happen, and every time I knew, he's saying, okay, Ed, see, I proved to you I'm not going to leave you. You're okay now for another couple weeks. But, he never let me go. So I went down with him. So for people out there that are listening now that are struggling, he's ready to help you.
Right.
He's actually right next to your side right now.
Right.
You're just not talking to him. So he's with you. He doesn't leave anybody. He made everybody perfect. Absolutely perfect. I mean, if you're not feeling good about yourself, then you're not feeling good about one of God's creations. And you can't do that. He might get mad at you for that one. But he made everybody perfectly. So thank him. Be grateful for what you have. And you even if you're feeling bad about yourself, if you take a little inventory of yourself, you probably have a million things that are great that you're just not focusing on right now. Think about all the great things and start repairing the little things. Do it with God, and you can't imagine how he'll help you. At his speed, you know, on his time plan, but I promise you, he's right next to you, ready to get to work.
Well, the Lord absolutely, I mean, I love your stories, And I love them. And we need to constantly share them over and over again so people understand and remember them. You know, we need to realize that God has a purpose, and that's in Romans 8:28-29. God wants you to go against your feelings. Think and do what is right. And that's when he'll help you not to slip into your old self-centered pity party poor me routine, right?
Absolutely.
Did you have pity parties? Did you have pity parties?
I have them every minute of every day, and I keep slapping myself in the face saying, jump out of it. Come on. Come on. I mean, every day. Every day. I mean, I have six children. I mean, they send me down terrible spots all the time, but I hang in there. I just think about, like, if I'm in a tough situation, I immediately just say, okay, God, what do you want me to do? And guess what? His recommendation is so different than my recommendation every time. You know, the thing is, do not think like a human being. Think like him. If you're in a tough situation, think about what you want to do. Write down that idea. Write down that solution.
Mm-hmm.
Now, think about what he would like you to do. And I guarantee it's a different answer. I guarantee. I do this almost every day now. When I sit back and say, okay, here's my situation. Here's what I'm going to do. And I feel nice and comfortable about it. It's probably, it came from my schooling. It came from business. It came from experience. And then I look at then I think about, what would God want me to do? And then I look at my response and say, well, that's wrong. That's not what he would want me to do. And I do what he would like me to do, and everything works out. I mean, a simple example is if you're in an argument with a spouse or a child or something like that, the very first thing you probably want to do is dig in and win that argument.
Mm-hmm.
But the very first, after I sit back and think about this argument, I said, well, this person's not listening to me at all. And I say, God, what do you want to do right now? And he just says, forgive them. Forgive them. Chill. Let the tempers calm down. And then come back and do a one-on-one with them maybe a couple hours later or next day or something. You know, stop arguing. Why do you raise your voice? He always says to me, just, you know, back off, say a prayer to me, and let's put together a new strategy. And it's, you know, it works. It always works. And over time, like, my kids have come to realize, and my wife has come to realize, that I'm just not an arguer. I just won't argue. And I always say to them, calm down. You know how I'm thinking. I'm not going to change because I'm trying to think of what God would want me to do right now. And initially they were like, oh, Dad, you're so boring. But now they clearly know that's the only way I can think. So it's so easy now, because when they think of their dad, they're saying, oh, well, I know how he's thinking. And it's given me a calmness, because I'm trying to do what's right. And they could say, well, my dad's going to try and do what's right. And that came over time. It probably took 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 years to get to that point. But if you stop acting like a human, try to act like him, and you'll have different answers to your problems.
Well, you know, it's very important for us to read the sacred scriptures, to think about the Psalms, and read good books by godly men and women who challenge our thinking. There's a lot of one-offs, you know, in all the bookstores or online, that they, you know, people think they have all the answers, don't they, Ed, to this self-pity issue and difficulties, and the difficulties that can make us strong, you know. So have books at all made any impact in your life, Ed? Any good books? You don't have to name them, but is reading part of your life to keep you strong?
Yeah, I have to be honest with you. That answer is no. but actually, what I do read is I read the Gospels.
Yes.
And when I read them, I'm kind of one-dimensional. I mean, I'll read the Gospel, and then I'll read other people's interpretation of the Gospel. And then that really applies to my life. You know, sharing your talents. Think about that Gospel. You know, I listen to really smart people and how they interpret that gospel or that parable, and then I apply it to my life. So I'm not reading books, but I am reading gospels, and I'm listening to other people's interpretation of them. And here's the other thing. I love listening to people's opinions, because it's their opinion. Mm-hmm. It has to be right, because it's their opinion. And people are so brilliant. When they read a gospel, they see something totally different than I see it. And I sit back and say, wow, that's really insightful, what I just heard from that person. So you listen to everybody. You don't discount anybody. Remember, God made everybody in his image. Everyone's perfect. And they might not be acting perfect, but they are perfect. So I do read, but those gospels and parables, they're like real life stories. Every one of them. You know? The Good Samaritan. Now think about that. You know, helping out the guy on the street, sharing your talents. I mean, everything. Every gospel is a real life story for you and I. And so it's tremendous. It's tremendous. How about the sower of the seeds? Our great friend Farmer. Every day, 1,000 people at 3:00, he sends out a prayer to 1,000 people. He's sowing some great seeds. And, you know, we started with 3 people, and now we have 1,000. But he's a farmer. He's planting seeds everywhere. And there's so many people that are great, have far greater lives now, because he says, hey, these people need a prayer. Take a moment, say a prayer. And everybody says, wow, thanks, farmer. I needed at this moment in my life, I wasn't feeling good, but at 3:00, you showed me a list of people who need a prayer, so they say it, and farmer fixed their life at that moment. And he does it every day for 3 years. Think of how many people are different people now, because they know it every day at 3:00, they're going to get a list of people that need a prayer, they say the prayer, and they're keeping life in the right perspective now.
That's astonishing. I mean, that's what we talked about in the beginning of the program. We talked about the need for companionship, for somebody to pray with you, to be with you in this journey, someone who would sow the seeds of hope. And this gentleman named Farmer, with over 1,000 people a day praying at 3:00 for prayer intentions. How would one get on this list, Ed?
Well, they would just text me and give me your name and number. You need an iPhone. And then we'll add you on there. We started with 3 people, so we add every day, every week. But yeah, I have a Facebook page, Ed Morris. You can message me and say, hey, Ed, I'd like to be in one of those groups. And then you can private message me your cell number, and we'll add you in a group, just like that. It's simple. We add 10, 15 people a week.
Yeah, oh my goodness!
People say, thank you. I can't tell you how many people sit back and say their days are hectic, but at 3:00, they know what they're going to do. They look forward to 3:00. Bishop Joe Coffey. Wow,
what a family.
Oh, my gosh. He said at the last prayer service, he goes, at 3:00, I can't wait to get my list of people who need a prayer. He can't wait. And here's a bishop. So me, Farmer, Dennis Shakina, and his great music. I mean, here's a bishop, and he can't wait to hear from us three clowns. Amazing.
You're not a clown. Well, you are a fool for Christ. You are a fool.
Yeah.
You know, Ed, if people only realized that God could remove them from their circumstance today, at this very second, if he wanted to, but he has purposes higher than we think. So go ahead, explain a little bit about that. He could remove this difficulty for you, friends, right now, if he wanted. And he has a higher purpose.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, look at me. I went through that crazy time, flat broke, but look what it led to. It leads to me doing prayer services and everything I do now. I had no idea at the time he was teaching me. But he was teaching me everything I needed to know in order to live my life today. And I have so much more to go, but, you know, how could I ever, ever help other people get through their struggles if I didn't have the same struggles myself? And I love telling my stories. People sit back and say, oh, wow, there's Ed Morris. What a good life he has. And then I get up there and tell them, well, I never really chatted with my dad.
Mm-hmm.
I did have a sister at 7 years old that died of cancer. I went flat broke. I talk about all my challenges, and they're great. And they sit back and say, wow, okay, Ed. All right, he's one of us. I said, you're darn right I am, and then some. And so it's absolutely fantastic. I mean, if God said to me, Ed, I will reverse life and give take away all the crazy things that happen to you. I'll say, no way. I love them all. I love talking about them. They all helped me. They sit, when you have a struggle, I mean, think about this. When you have a struggle, when you think, it can't get worse for me, how did the heck did I ever get into this position? Well, then just take a moment and say, well, what did Jesus say when he's living his life and no one was listening to him? And even the most religious people in the world turned him over and killed him. So, I mean, who else was there? That's a bad situation,
mm-hmm.
not the struggles we have. So there's our role model. He did it all for us. This poor Mother Mary lost her son. Well, how about Joseph and Elizabeth lost John the Baptist? It's unbelievable, the role models we have. No one will ever suffer like these people suffered. We are suffering pale in comparison. And then, here's the ultimate gift. If we can get through this test here on earth, we get to live with them forever. Think about that.
It's remarkable.
Struggle down here for 50, 60, 70 years.
Right.
And then we live with them for hundreds of millions of years. Not a care in the world. What a gift. What a gift.
Ed, you know, I received a message from Maureen a few minutes ago on a little message pad, and she said the little boy's name is Robbie. I believe we were,
okay.
You know, she said it was Robbie. So, Robbie, we pray for you in a very special way. We're going to be sharing that Trust in You prayer in a few minutes. And, my friends, if you want more, you can write to this apostolate. I hope they have boxes of it somewhere. Right, Ed? I'm going to give the address. So it's In His Sign Catholic Radio Network, 136 Garrett, Garrett Avenue, Rosemont, which is one word, Pennsylvania, 19010. And just ask for the trust prayer that Ed was talking mm-hmm. about in the beginning of the program, that his friend had a powerful healing in his family when he was feeling at probably the pits, and that mm-hmm. God wasn't answering his prayers, right? He was in, well, we don't know if he was in self-pity, but he was in despair.
Yeah. And, well, two things now. If you want to put yourself a little exercise, I kind of taught myself recently. Now, it came to me recently. Like I said, I'm 62. Just a couple months ago, I started doing this one, but it helps me out a ton. When I'm down, and I mentioned these you prior show, when I'm down and I'm not feeling good and I'm depressed and I'm looking for self-pity, it's probably because I did not get something that I wanted. I didn't win some business. I didn't make some money. Somebody was disrespectful to me. Someone said something about me that hurt me. And it bummed me out. So what I've done recently, and it works every time, is I eliminate Ed Morris from my life. He doesn't exist because I can't make him happy. There's too many things that bum him out. But I can make other people happy. I can work for others, and that is enjoyable. And why should I try to make Ed Morris happy? God will make him happy. But when I take him out of the equation, I don't get depressed. I don't look for self-pity. Because I'm trying to make him happy. He doesn't want the right things. But when he helps other people, that is the right thing. So if you're sitting there saying, gosh, I'm depressed right now,
mm-hmm.
think of what's depressing you. And then you say, you know what? Don't let it bother you. Go help somebody. Go do something good. Go pray a little bit. Take yourself out of the equation. Maybe you don't have the job you want. Maybe your income's not high enough. Maybe you don't think people are talking to you respectfully enough. But don't let that bother you. God is not doing that to you. God loves you. God respects you. God talks to you all the time. Worry about his opinion of you. And his opinion of you gets improved every time you do something good. Or you pray to him, chat with him, go to adoration, do things like that. But eliminate yourself. And all of a sudden your life will get a lot simpler.
Well, I think that's very powerful, Ed. And, you know, we hear often that those who are severely depressed or, you know, really in that period of, you know, I don't want to live, I can't get over this addiction. When you start to give and love someone else in need, that's the healing moment. When you start to praise God in the midst of despair, that's the healing moment. And speaking of that, Ed, you know, all of our listeners right now, you're listening to Ed Morris on Thy Will Be Done. And we are going to pray, he is going to pray, a very powerful prayer. And I want you to pray it, all of you, with Ed. We are going to pray that the power of the Holy Spirit be dispensed through the airways to everyone who's listening, everyone who wants to listen, and we pray for all the impossible prayer needs of our listeners today, those who feel that you can't go on. You can't go on. So go ahead, Ed.
All right, and I'll say a line, and then I'll delay, and I'm hoping everybody will say it, repeat the line I just told them. So, trust me.
Trust me.
Do you believe that I am the Son of God?
Do you believe that I am the Son of God?
And do you believe that I died for all men and women?
And do you believe that I died for all men and women?
And that I rose from the dead.
And that I rose from the dead.
Then why do you continue to be distracted and anxious about your loved ones?
Then why do you continue to be distracted
and anxious about your loved ones?
And anxious about your loved ones. Just go ahead, because we have another minute and a half.
Do they not also belong to me? Would I refuse to work in their lives just as I work in yours? I have not put you in charge of saving them. I have already done that. Nor have I charged you to change them. Your task is to love, to forgive, to pray for them, and to turn them over to me. Come closer to me yourself. I will do the rest. Trust me. Bingo.
Trust me. The Lord wants all of us to trust him today. So, Ed Morris, thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us today. And I pray that you'll be in the studio with me soon.
Absolutely.
All right.
God, can I say hello to Farmer and Dennis, my great friends?
Absolutely. I want them to be in the studio with us one day.
And my sis, Monica.
All right. Well, God all bless right. you all. Thank you, Ed. Bye-bye. Right. Powerful. I can't wait to have Ed back in the studio. It's always powerful. My friends, you know, we're talking about self-pity and struggling through difficult times. They do not make us stronger. You know, a lot of us are falling in the pit. We need to thank God for every moment. We need to trust him, and we need to work at it. It's not like an instant snap of your finger, take a pill, and all things are well. So I hope this program ministered to you. Ed has lived the life. He knows the people. He has helped people in despair, from the streets of Kensington to his prayer group, to his personal business life. And we thank Ed for taking time out with us. And I hope to have his posse with us in the studio soon, when the COVID, we're allowed to do that. So in the meantime, friends, I want you to know, in the coming days, we need to stand firm in prayer, believe and trust in the power of the Lord. And next week, I have a special guest for you as well, and in the coming weeks. So may the Lord bless you and keep you, and may Our Lady's mantle be wrapped around you. And remember, you are very, very special in God's eyes. God bless you. Stay tuned for Joe Traynor.